It's Thursday, the 5th of June, 2025, and you're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader in Flagstaff, Chuck Kaufman. First of all, we are going to be listening to some items from the military news websites, and today we have a number of things from Stripes.com as well as MilitaryTimes.com and from our Veteran Service Organization's websites and newsletters and publications, as well as from the Veterans Administration. So, let's begin. We'll start with this item from Stripes.com. VA budget tops $400 million for 2025 from higher spending on mandated benefits and medical care. This is by Linda Hershey of Stars and Stripes on the 3rd of June. Washington. Higher than anticipated costs for mandated veterans benefits and medical care for toxic exposures will drive the Department of Veterans Affairs budget for fiscal 2025 to more than $400 billion, a roughly $30 billion increase to the amount that Congress approved, the agency said. Congress has appropriated a $31.7 billion increase to the $369.1 billion spending plan to cover veterans' disability compensation and medical care through the Toxic Exposures Fund that is required under federal law, said Peter Kasparowicz, the VA press secretary. The increase provides the VA with necessary funds to cover fiscal 2025, which ends September the 30th, the agency said. For fiscal 2026, which starts October the 1st, the VA is requesting $441.3 billion, a 10% increase from 2025, according to a budget summary released Friday. VA Secretary Doug Collins pledged to prioritize critical VA programs in 2026 that address suicide risks, homelessness, substance abuse, chronic pain, and access to rural health care, according to the budget documents. President Donald Trump is committed to balancing the budget while providing necessary funding for critical non-defense discretionary priorities that include caring for the nation's veterans, their families, caregivers, and survivors, according to a summary in the documents. The 2026 budget requests $301.2 billion in mandatory funding, an increase of $34.2 billion from the previous year, for disability compensation, pensions, readjustment funds, and other veterans' benefits required by law. But for fiscal 2025, Congress paid $25.7 billion in additional funds to cover higher than anticipated requests for mandatory benefits and another $6 billion for medical claims from toxic exposed veterans. The medical claims were made to the Toxic Exposures Fund, which covers veterans exposed to toxic substances during military service, including pollution from burn pits, radiation, and industrial solvents. The fund was created under the PACT Act of 2022, which established service-connected disability payments and health coverage for toxic-exposed veterans. Costs to provide services and benefits under the fund were $20 billion in 2024, $30.4 billion in 2025, and a projected $52.6 billion in 2026, according to budget documents. The Sergeant First Class Heath Robinson, honoring our Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics Act, represents the most significant expansion of VA health care and disability compensation benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits and other environmental exposures in 30 years, budget documents state. The budget summary also projects spending for all other VA health coverage. Budget figures show spending for non-VA medical care by private doctors will grow from $22.5 billion to $34 billion, and funding for VA medical services would decrease from $69 billion to $57 billion. For VA staffing, the 2026 budget proposes to fund 455,874 full-time positions. The figure is a decrease of 2,964 positions from the 2025 enacted level. Most of the decrease, 2,042 full-time equivalents, is in the Veterans Benefit Administration. The 2026 budget assumes there will be no pay increase for civilian employees in calendar year 2026, budget documents state. The 2026 staffing request does not reflect plans for a reduction in force that VA Chief of Staff Christopher Syrek discussed in a memo to VA leaders that was leaked to news reporters in March. That memo stated VA will return staffing to 2019 levels of 399,957 employees as part of a larger downsizing of federal agencies ordered by President Trump. The budget numbers for staffing do not fully account for VA's reform plan, which is still being developed, Kasperowitz said. The VA has undertaken a department-wide review of its organization and structure to identify and eliminate waste, the agency said. While the VA anticipates increased efficiencies, there are no savings assumptions from personnel reductions resulting from the department-wide review in the FY 2026 budget, according to budget documents. The 2026 budget also provides funds to update the VA's online medical records system. Funding would grow from $1.3 billion in 2025 to nearly $3.5 billion. The update will make the patient medical record system interoperable with the Defense Department, other federal agencies, and private medical offices registered to accept VA reimbursements and provide care for veterans. In 2026, funds for the National Cemetery Administration also would increase from $480 million to $497 million, according to budget documents. Funding for major construction projects would grow by more than $900 million to $1.8 billion in 2026. And that's VA budget tops $400 billion for 2025 from higher spending on mandated benefits, medical care. It is the 81st anniversary of D-Day, the 6th of June. We have this article from the 4th of June by Allison Bath of Stars and Stripes. Destroyer's daring move on D-Day recalled as lesson in battlefield initiative. Naples, Italy. As Allied forces stormed Nazi-occupied territory in France on D-Day, it became clear that the peril soldiers faced at Omaha Beach threatened the effort to liberate Europe from German control. That's when the commanding officer of the destroyer USS Frankfurt made the independent decision to bring the ship within 800 to 1,000 yards of the shore to fire on the enemy. Other battleships followed, launching a second bombardment that proved decisive. Admiral Stuart Munch, commander of U.S. Naval Forces, Europe, Africa, and Allied Joint Force Command, Naples, said Tuesday during a naval history symposium near Sainte-Mère-Église, France, commemorating the 81st anniversary of D-Day. The symposium and a U.S. Naval Forces Europe and Africa band concert featuring a newly commissioned composition memorializing this year's D-Day observance were led by Navier AF. The effort by Frankfurt's commanding officer, who drew on experience gained during an earlier event at Anzio, Italy, was a marquee example of adaptive decision-making that is most effective in battle, Munch said. Shows the importance of instilling in your command the ability of lower-level leaders to make decisions based on the circumstances they see, understanding the principles of what are to be achieved, he said. The Allied invasion fleet, led by Admiral Sir Bertram Ramsay of the UK Navy, consisted of thousands of warships, landing craft, and commercial vessels that carried an advance formation of 175,000 soldiers, according to the U.S. Naval Institute. Those ships also carried 100,000 tons of equipment, including 50,000 vehicles, such as tanks and jeeps. Operation Neptune, the naval component of D-Day, was outlined by Ramsay in a more than 1,100-page document with incredible detail and clarity, Munch said. That clarity was key in the initial success of landing troops and equipment on the beaches of France and in providing cover, among other tasks. But the plan also underscores the importance of following up with support, maintenance, and rapid buildup of additional troops, Munch said. The Navy's goal wasn't its own glory, but rather to serve the Army's needs, said Munch in quoting Ramsey's guidance in the planning document. He set the standard for doing big operations and getting them right, Munch said later Tuesday in an interview with Stars and Stripes. One of the war's enduring lessons, he added, is that Allied victory was rooted in the earlier development of a military system that prioritized learning and technological innovation. That's really what made a huge difference for us in World War II, he said. May have been a very different result without all that good work. And that's destroyers' daring move on D-Day, recalled as lesson in battlefield initiative. Our next article from Stripes.com, Hegseth orders Navy to rename ship that honors gay rights icon Harvey Milk. This is by Caitlin Burchett of Stars and Stripes from the 3rd of June, Washington. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has ordered the Navy to rename the ship that honors Harvey Milk, a former sailor who later became the first openly gay man elected to office in California, defense officials confirmed Tuesday. The USNS Harvey Milk, a John Lewis-class replenishment oiler, was first named after the gay rights activist in 2016 by then-Navy Secretary Ray Mabus. The John Lewis-class oilers are designated by the Navy to be named for civil rights leaders and activists. But the ship will be renamed now to align with President Donald Trump's and Hegseth's priorities, said an official who spoke on the condition of anonymity. The order was handed down from Hegseth to Navy Secretary John Phelan, a second official said. It was unclear Tuesday what the Harvey Milk's new name will be, when the change will occur, or how much it will cost. Milk was commissioned in the Navy in 1951 and served as a diving officer on the submarine rescue ship USS Kittiwake during the Korean War. He was forced to resign in 1955 after it was discovered he was gay and was honorably discharged as a lieutenant junior grade. Milk went on to run for political office in California, winning a seat on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors in 1977. He was killed in office in 1978 shortly after passing a bill banning housing and employment discrimination based on sexual orientation. Milk's assassination transformed him into an icon in San Francisco and a martyr in the LGBTQ+ community. He was posthumously awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2009. Leaders like Harvey Milk taught us that diversity of backgrounds and experiences help contribute to the strength and resolve of our nation, former Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro said in 2021 during the ship's commissioning ceremony. There's no doubt that the future sailors aboard this ship will be inspired by Milk's life and legacy. The Harvey Milk is undergoing maintenance at a shipyard in Alabama. The maintenance should be completed in late June, according to the Alabama shipyard. The Pentagon said reviews of names were in progress and potential renamings would be announced after those reviews are complete. Secretary Hegseth is committed to ensuring that the names attached to all Defense Department installations and assets are reflective of the Commander-in-Chief's priorities, our nation's history, and the warrior ethos, said Sean Parnell, Chief Pentagon spokesman. The Navy declined to comment on the order to rename the Harvey Milk. The order was meant to become public on June 13th, intentionally coinciding with Pride Month, celebrated annually in June to recognize the contributions and achievements of the LGBTQ+ community, according to Military.com, which was first to report the renaming. News of the ship's renaming drew criticism Tuesday from lawmakers, scholars, and advocacy groups. Representative Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California, former House Speaker, said the renaming is a spiteful, vindictive erasure of those who fought to break down barriers. Tim Naftali, A senior research scholar for Columbia's School of International and Public Affairs described the timing of the renaming as nothing less than the most vicious homophobia. Stripping Milk's name from a Navy ship on the basis of his sexuality is despicable, said Lindsay Church, president of Minority Veterans of America. Sends a dangerous message to every LGBTQ+ person who has worn the uniform that your service is conditional, that your sacrifice is second class. Harvey Milk stood for inclusion, for courage, and for the belief that everyone deserves dignity and respect. Values the military claims to uphold, Church said. To erase him now is to side with bigotry over bravery, and history will remember it as a shameful retreat from justice. That's Hegseth orders Navy to rename ship that honors gay rights icon Harvey Milk. We'll move on to militarytimes.com for this item. IAVA names former Marine Corps pilot Kylene Hunter as next CEO. This article is from the 3rd of June by Leo Shane III. Former Marine Corps pilot Kylene Hunter will take over as the next leader of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, bringing her public policy background to the group's continued advocacy mission, board officials announced Tuesday. Hunter spent 12 years in the Marine Corps, including deployments in both Iraq and Afghanistan. She replaces outgoing CEO Allison Jalso, who has held the top post in the group since February 2023. Unlike most of the legacy veterans organizations, which have leadership changes annually, Hunter is only the fourth CEO in IAVA's 20-year history. The group has been a key voice in military and defense issues over the last two decades, particularly topics affecting the youngest generation of veterans. Our stories as veterans are not monolithic, Hunter said in a statement announcing her new role. We come from different backgrounds, joined for different reasons, and bring with us a diverse range of experiences and talents. That diversity is our strength. Hunter brings an extensive resume of advocacy and public policy work to the leadership role, along with her military experience. She spent 12 years as an officer in the Marine Corps, both as a Cobra pilot and as a staffer in the Office of Legislative Affairs. In the latter role, she was involved in work on the repeal of the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell law and the integration of women into combat roles. After the service, she's worked as the Air Force Academy's director of the Strategy and Warfare Center, along with teaching as a professor of military and strategic studies. Hunter later served as co-chair of the Culture and Climate Line of Effort for the Independent Review Commission on Military Sexual Assault and chair of the Employment and Integration Subcommittee for the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services. The California native has been working most recently as a senior political scientist at RAND and lead of the organization's Women, Peace, and Security Initiative. She is also the co-author of the book Invisible Veterans: What Happens When Military Women Become Civilians Again. Those topics are likely to play a significant role in IAVA's advocacy work over the next few years. Hunter has been critical in recent months of Pentagon efforts to scale back available jobs for female service members and to tamp down diversity programs related to recruiting and retention. My vision for IAVA is one where we don't just respond to the moment, we help shape the future, Hunter said. She's also previously testified before Congress on firearm safety and ways to prevent mass shootings. Safe storage of firearms has become a controversial topic within the veterans community, despite past research from the Department of Veterans Affairs showing that improved practices could cut down on veteran suicides. Kai understands the power of continued service and how powerful veterans can be in restoring trust and renewing faith in democracy, IAVA board chair Wayne Smith said in a statement. She's the leader we need for these times, both to advocate on behalf of her fellow veterans, as she's always done, and to help make sure veterans' voices are front and center in the most important debates of the day. And that's IAVA names former Marine Corps pilot Kyleen Hunter as next CEO. Our next item from MilitaryTimes.com, advocates for homeless vets worry over proposed changes to VA programs. Again, by Leo Shane III, this from the 30th of May. When Veterans Affairs Secretary Doug Collins addressed a conference for homelessness advocates Friday, he pledged significant reforms to how his department approaches providing aid to struggling veterans with an eye toward finding homes for all of them. But he also acknowledged skepticism among some advocates about what those looming changes will mean. Every organization I speak to, I say this is a trust but verify situation, he said. We're not satisfied with the status quo and making sure that the money and the people are set where they can help you the most, but I'll need your help, both nationally and locally. Whether he'll get robust support from homeless advocates remains to be seen. At the Coalition for Homeless Veterans Conference in Washington, D.C. this week, an event that brings hundreds of community providers and policy planners together each year, officials voiced concerns about possible funding cuts and program disruptions that could undo years of progress in addressing the issue of homeless veterans. It has really been an uncertain year for everyone, Catherine Monet, Chief Executive Officer of NCHV, told conference attendees in her opening remarks Wednesday. We see it, we hear you, and we're doing what we can to help. Since taking office in February, Collins has stated frustration over the estimated 33,000 veterans without stable housing in America today. He and other conservative lawmakers have said more work needs to be done to accelerate progress on the issue, to possibly include a radical rethinking of VA outreach and support programs. The number of homeless veterans has been steadily falling since the issue was made a national priority under former President Barack Obama and former VA Secretary Eric Shinseki in 2009. Over the last 14 years, the total number of homeless veterans in America is down more than 55%, thanks largely to a concentrated federal effort to support state and local assistance programs. But the bulk of that improvement came between 2010 and 2016, with only about a 10% drop from 2020 to 2024. Now, some of those long-established programs could face significant overhauls. In early May, President Donald Trump signed an executive order mandating a host of moves related to ending homelessness among veterans. Chief among them was a new plan for the controversial West Los Angeles Veterans Affairs Medical Center site, which has been the subject of litigation for years. During his speech Friday, Collins said officials have already begun working on Trump's idea for a new National Center for Warrior Independence at the site, providing more housing and employment support for the estimated 3,000 homeless veterans living in the city. The comments drew strong applause from conference attendees, but the executive order also includes other undefined proposals, including the idea of vouchers for homeless veterans and revisions to the existing federal homeless support grants. Concerns about possible funding reductions or eliminations permeated many of the conference's sessions. HUD Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing Grants have become a staple of federal support for community outreach efforts, and many advocates wonder if the new administration will continue to support the 20-year-old program. Officials from the National Low-Income Housing Coalition this week criticized Trump's initial fiscal 2026 budget plans for including a 44% decrease in funding for the Department of Housing and Urban Development, saying it will severely impact millions of low-income renters, unhoused individuals, and marginalized communities. And VA leaders are looking at cutting as many as 80,000 department workers, about 16% of the department's workforce, in order to cut costs and inefficiency at the department. They've not specified whether some administrative work related to homeless outreach programs could be included in those staff dismissals. Amid criticism of federal rollbacks, administration officials insist support for veterans will still be available, just in different, more efficient forms. Collins on Friday did not offer specifics on what changes could be on the way for veterans' housing grants, but told Military Times after his speech that community groups should not be concerned about steep budget cuts. "We're looking forward to continuing our commitments," he said. "This has been a focus of mine and the president from day one." David Cleghorn, president of HELP Development Corporation, a nonprofit that works on affordable housing projects, said many of the efforts his group is underway take several years to complete. Even well-intentioned updates to programs can cause cascading issues for planners. "If we know that we can't close a project for 3 years because we're in line behind 10 other projects, that's fine. We can plan for that and put our pencils down for now," he said. "What we can't handle is an uncertainty of when and if resources will come because we're putting a ton of money into these projects long term. If we're working on the second phase of a project, we've already put hundreds of thousands of dollars into that. If the support for it comes into question, then we're in trouble." For now, advocates are hopeful that the positive trend of reducing veterans' homelessness over the last 15 years will continue. "We're making really good progress," Money told the crowd this week. "But as proud as we are at what we've done together, we're not done. And I don't think any of you are slowing down." In his remarks, Collins promised to be a partner in that work. "The calling you all have, the calling I have, and the calling VA is to take care of every veteran we have," he said. "That means that their health care is given to them, their benefits are given to them on time, and yes, for those that are broken, for those that are homeless, it's time to find you a home." And that's Advocates for Homeless Vets wary over proposed changes to VA programs. You're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona programming either as it streams or at a time of your choosing by going to the sunsounds.org website or by downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app from the Apple App Store for your iPad or iPhone or the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet. And of course, you can always listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo. Let's turn now to a publication of one of our veteran service organizations, the Military Officers Association of America and the Military Officer Magazine. And from their May issue, we have this healthy living column, "Feed Your Frame, Flex Your Strength. How to Build Stronger Bones Through Exercise and Nutrition." Strong bones are crucial for staying mobile, lowering the risk of injury, and maintaining a good quality of life as you age. Although some people associate bone health with calcium supplements, a combination of weight-bearing exercise and proper nutrition is much more important for building and maintaining bone density throughout our lives. Bones are living tissue that constantly adapt to mechanical stress. In particular, weight-bearing and resistance exercises stimulate bone formation by creating small amounts of stress on the skeleton, which triggers osteoblast activity, the cells responsible for building new bone. Activities such as walking, running, jumping, and strength training all promote bone remodeling. Research highlights that high-impact exercises such as plyometrics and sprinting are especially beneficial for improving bone mineral density, BMD, in younger populations, while progressive resistance training is effective for preserving BMD in older adults. Non-weight-bearing exercises such as swimming and cycling, while excellent for cardiovascular fitness, offer limited benefits for bone health. That's why combining resistance training with impact activities provides the most robust stimulus for bone strengthening. But exercise alone is insufficient. Proper nutrition provides the raw materials needed to build and maintain strong bones. Calcium and vitamin D are two of the most critical nutrients. Calcium is the primary mineral in bone tissue, and vitamin D enhances calcium absorption in the gut. The recommended dietary allowance for calcium is 1,000 milligrams per day for adults ages 19 to 50, And that increases to 1,200 milligrams per day for women over 50 and men over 70. Protein intake is also crucial in supporting the skeletal structure, as bones are approximately 50% protein by volume. Studies show that a higher protein intake and adequate calcium are associated with improved BMD. Additionally, nutrients such as magnesium, phosphorus, vitamin K, and zinc contribute to bone matrix formation and mineralization. A balanced diet of dairy, leafy greens, nuts, seeds, lean meats, and fatty fish provides these essential nutrients. Building stronger bones requires a multifaceted approach. Regular weight-bearing exercise stimulates bone growth, while a nutrient-rich diet provides the necessary building blocks. By combining these strategies, individuals can enhance bone density, reduce fracture risk, and support lifelong skeletal health. This article is by Lieutenant Colonel Nick Barringer, U.S. Army retired Chief Academic Officer and Dean of Graduate Studies at Lionel University. That's Feed Your Frame, Flex Your Strength, How to Build Stronger Bones Through Exercise and Nutrition. Let's turn back to Stars and Stripes. In this article from Stripes.com by Corey Dickstein, Army hits recruiting goal for 2025 at earliest point in a decade. The Army has met its active duty recruiting goal for 2025, marking the earliest the service has reached its annual enlistment target in more than a decade, service officials said Tuesday. The Army surpassed 61,000 future soldier contracts this week, 4 months before the end of the fiscal year, according to a service news release. It marks the second consecutive year that the service has reached its target for new enlistment after it had failed to meet its goals in 2022 and 2023. Army Secretary Dan Driscoll credited the service's 10,000 or so recruiters for their colossal efforts to improve the service's recruiting wing in recent years and sign up some 10% more young Americans to join the Army so far this year than last year, when it achieved its 55,000 recruit target just before the fiscal year's end in September. 4 months ahead of schedule, we crushed the U.S. Army's FY25 recruiting goals, Driscoll said in a statement. I want to thank our hardworking recruiting community and everyone who helped support this important milestone. The last time that the Army met its recruiting goal in the first week of June was 2014, said Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Tolbert, a spokesman for Driscoll. Army Secretary said Tuesday that hitting the goal so early showed the service's recruiting challenges were behind us. Tolbert said those recruited for the rest of the fiscal year will enter the Army's delayed entry program, which means they'll ship to basic training in fiscal 2026, which starts October the 1st. Some 14,000 of the recruits who've shipped to basic training in fiscal 2025 did so after entering the delayed entry program last year, according to the service. The accomplishment comes as the Army prepares to hold events around the world marking its 250th birthday, including a massive celebration and parade planned for Washington, D.C. on June the 14th. That event is expected to include an enlistment ceremony for new recruits committing to the service. The Army and most of the other military services have struggled in recent years to meet their recruiting goals, at least in part because of a shrinking pool of eligible candidates. The Pentagon in recent years has estimated only some 23% of young Americans between the ages of 17 and 24 meet the basic education, fitness, and moral criteria to serve. Among those qualified, only about 9% have shown interest in the military in recent years, according to Pentagon data. Amid its struggles in recent years, the Army has launched new programs to bolster its recruiting apparatus and raised its recruiting commander from a 2 to a 3-star general. It also opened a new pathway to enlistment for Army hopefuls who initially fall short of meeting the service's enlistment standards via its Future Soldier Prep course. The program gives those recruits 90 days of academic or fitness instruction by Army drill sergeants to help them meet those basic standards. It's driven thousands of recruits into basic training since 2022, and officials have generally regarded it as successful. Driscoll, on Tuesday, sought to paint the recruiting win as a reflection of new policies implemented since President Donald Trump returned to the White House. Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth in recent months have continually taken credit for the improved recruiting numbers. Nonetheless, Pentagon data shows recruiting improvements began months before the November 2024 presidential election. I want to thank the Commander-in-Chief, President Trump, and Secretary of Defense Hegseth for their decisive leadership and support in equipping, training, and supporting these future soldiers as they face a world of global uncertainty and complex threats, Driscoll said. Putting soldiers first is having a tangible impact and shows that young people across our country want to be part of the most lethal land fighting force the world has ever seen. That's Army HIT's recruiting goal for 2025 at earliest point in a decade. Moving on to the taskandpurpose.com website, we have this item from Patty Nieberg. Veterans receiving disability payments might have been underpaid, IG finds. The IG found errors in an automatic calculator that may have been used as far back as 2017 to determine veterans' monthly disability checks. Veterans may have received lower monthly disability payments than they should have due to errors made by a computer used by the Department of Veterans Affairs to calculate the amount they should be paid, a federal watchdog found. It's unclear how far back the miscalculations go, but some veterans with particularly serious disabilities, like amputations, may have been shortchanged anywhere from $132.74 to $4,170.59 in their monthly disability checks. Other veterans may have received overpayments as high as $373.18, according to a VA Inspector General report released this week. In unearthing the errors in the VA's payment calculation system, the IG did not examine any actual payments made to veterans and did not determine whether any actual veterans had been underpaid. Instead, the report found that the VA's over-reliance on a specific computer program could have resulted in incorrect monthly benefit payments. These disability scenarios were not based on specific veterans' claims, but could exist in actual claims, the IG wrote in a footnote. VA officials told the IG that the error-prone program has since been taken offline, according to the report, and agreed with its central findings. The Veterans Benefits Administration, the VBA, concurs with the report findings and recommendations and is developing a plan to implement the recommendations. This report highlights an opportunity for VBA to strengthen its processes on this topic, VA officials told the IG. Two calculators produce different amounts. The possible underpayments the IG found came from the use of two different computer systems to calculate payments, which the VA refers to as calculators. VA officials referred to the older calculator as the legacy calculator, while the newer one was meant to be more user-friendly by automating some tasks. The newer system, the IG found, produced incorrect sums when adding so-called special monthly compensations on top of a veteran's primary disability payment. The special compensations are added to some veterans' monthly benefit payments for certain severe disabilities or combinations of disabilities. In order to receive monthly disability compensation, veterans have to first receive a disability rating from the VA through a sometimes arduous process that involves submitting a claim, having military and medical records reviewed, and undergoing a VA clinical exam. Certain health conditions typically qualify for a 100% disability rating, while others determine ratings that range from 0 to 100%. But beyond those percentage-based payments, these special monthly compensations are added for severe cases like an amputation, limb loss, loss of sight, or for those who are permanently bedridden or need help with basic daily needs like getting dressed or eating. The VA uses letter codes for each. The legacy calculator version, released in 2011, forced VA processors to manually enter these codes. The newer version would automatically populate the appropriate fields, but ended up assigning incorrect compensation amounts that would result in underpayments to veterans or gave an error message, the IG found. Officials from the VA's Veterans Benefits Administration and Office of Information and Technology could not determine the cause of the errors or how long they'd been occurring, according to the IG. VA officials were not able to determine when the automatic version was released, but found the first documented release in 2017. However, according to the report, some VA claims processors did continue to use the manual version because some users preferred its format, making it unclear which claims may have been affected. In October 2024, the VA notified claims processors to only use the manual version. The automatic calculator was disabled and inactive as of February 2025. The IG recommended that the VA correct all of the calculator errors, develop a testing plan, and certify the results to the IG. VA officials told the IG that it completed initial testing of the defects, disabled the calculator, and plans to report a testing plan to the IG by July 31st. And that's veterans receiving disability payments might have been underpaid, IG finds. Let's turn now to some newsletters that we have from Arizona VA. And our first one's from the Northern Arizona VA Healthcare System Information for Veterans. Join us for the 4th Annual PTSD Awareness Walk and Barbecue. PTSD Awareness Events, June 7th and 12th. PTSD Awareness Month is here, and we're hosting two events to recognize it. The PTSD Awareness Walk and Barbecue, that will be from 9 to 12 p.m. Saturday, June the 7th. That'll be at the Watson Lake Park, the Upper Ramada, 3101 North Watson Lake Road in Prescott, Arizona. And the website for that is www.va.gov/northern-arizona-health-care/events/80088. Then they have the PTSD Awareness Equine Therapy Demonstration and Barbecue, and that will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday, June the 12th. And that's at the Bob Stump VA Medical Center, main flagpole, in front of Building 14, 500 Highway 89 North, Prescott. And their website is the same, only this event is 80089. So that's www.va.gov/northern-arizona-healthcare/events/80089. Medical scam, insurance scam awareness. The Federal Bureau of Investigation recently shared a public alert warning about discount medical insurance scams. These scams involve misleading or fraudulent offers for medical insurance plans that promise reduced rates on legitimate medical insurance but do not provide any actual medical insurance coverage, resulting in millions of dollars in losses annually. And for more information on these scams, as well as tips to protect yourself and how to report fraudulent activity, their website is www.ic3.gov/psa/2025/psa250430. And we have a lot of websites here, and they're hard to get that and get it all written down. But the easiest way to do that is to go to the Northern Arizona VA and get the subscription to the emailed newsletter, and it'll contain all the links for these. They're having a VA Resources Meet and Greet in Prescott, June the 25th. You can come and chat with the Veterans Affairs staff at the Good Samaritan's Village Tower Apartments in Prescott. You can get help with the PACT Act, VA healthcare enrollment, military disability information, veterans resources, benefits, and more. That'll be from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Wednesday, June the 25th, Village Tower Apartments Community Room, and that's at 1075 Ruth Street, Prescott, Arizona. And you can contact them at 928-776-6013. OM Practice, June 2025 Monthly Challenge. We're building strength from the inside out. And this is Northern Arizona VA Healthcare System. Veterans and staff have free access to over 100 live online OM practice classes weekly, an on-demand video library, and new programming every month. Monthly challenge, strong to the core. Take three classes focused on core and back strength like Pilates, power yoga, and mobility. Build stability, improve posture, and move with confidence. Strong core, strong body, strong you. To open your free on-practice account, simply follow the link to app.omprectice.com/veteransaffairs. And healthy aging support for veterans and caregivers, free classes every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. to tackle some of the most important topics related to aging in Arizona. All veterans and caregivers are welcome to attend either in person or virtually. No registration is required. If you'd like to attend virtually or have any questions, you can contact Karen Jensen prior to the class you're interested in at 928-445-4860, extension 2718, and a link will be sent to you. They have anticipatory grief on the 4th of June, Building 161, Room 241, Caregiver Supports and Recognizing Burnout, and that'll be on the 11th of June, Building 161, Room 241. And that's information from the Northern Arizona VA Healthcare System newsletter, Information for Veterans. The Phoenix VA Healthcare System newsletter, Veteran News Now, features these items. Phoenix VA honors volunteers. Phoenix VA's voluntary services held its volunteer awards ceremony at the Luke Greenway American Legion Post 1, May the 29th. Phoenix VA volunteers are presented with the Hour of Service Awards, which were provided an appreciation luncheon of hamburgers, cheeseburgers, macaroni salad, fruit salad, and burritos. They also enjoyed a cake to celebrate the volunteers and their accomplishments. Voluntary Services Officer Mike Achey and Voluntary Services Coordinator Penny Kraft presented volunteer service pins to the volunteers. Service pins were awarded to the volunteers for hours served. Volunteer hours range from 100 hours to 10,000 hours. This is the first awards luncheon held in 5 years since the pandemic. Mike Achey said, "We plan to continue recognizing our volunteers more frequently, and the next award luncheon will be in the fall or winter season. The VA cannot function without our volunteers, and we thank each and every volunteer who attended." Ken Koppel was a top award winner, receiving the 10,000-hour pin and the 8,750-hour pin. Next, Phoenix VA receives new fleet of vehicles. The Phoenix VA Healthcare System recently purchased 10 new vehicles for the Veterans Transportation Service, the VTS, a program designed to transport veterans to and from VA-authorized medical appointments. Many of the transports are for treatments for life-sustaining services such as dialysis, chemo, and radiation therapies. Melanie Howard, the Phoenix VA Mobility Manager since October 2022, initiated the purchase after recognizing the need for new fleet vehicles, with many of the older vehicles in disrepair or over 100,000 miles driven. The Phoenix VA Virtual Health Resource Center. Phoenix VA's Virtual Health Resource Center, the VHRC, offers technical support to veterans, their family members, and caregivers about all things virtual care. The VHRC staff, they're here to help you use connected devices such as smartphones, tablets, iPads, and laptops to conveniently connect to high-quality VA care. VHRC staff help veterans use virtual care tools and VA mobile apps. These tools can offer care options beyond the traditional office visit. Expanding your access to virtual care is just a few clicks away with the help of the Phoenix VA's VHRC team. We offer in-person, phone, or video virtual appointments, and you can call them at 602-277-5551, extension 6680. The two remaining assistance sessions are on June 11th, 2025, and June 18th, 2025, Wednesdays. And that's from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the ACC entrance, 3rd Street and Indian School Road. They have a roadshow at VA clinics, and that's always on the last Wednesday of the month from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. 32nd Street VA Clinic will be on June the 25th, and they can be reached at 602-277-5551, extension 6680. They're celebrating the U.S. Army birthday. June 14th, the Phoenix VA will serve cupcakes and refreshments in celebration of the Army's 250th birthday to veterans and VA staff on Thursday, June the 12th, 2025, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Carl T. Hayden VA Medical Center, the ACC hallway near Starbucks. They have a bookmobile July the 1st, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Carl T. Hayden VAMC ACC entrance. You can bring, or they are bringing, the Phoenix Public Library to you. Tuesday, July the 1st, is a kickoff celebration for Phoenix VA's new partnership with the Phoenix Public Library Systems. Beginning July 1st, Phoenix Library will bring their bookmobile to the Carl T. Hayden VA Medical Center every first Tuesday of the month. Veterans, families, and their caregivers will have access to thousands of selections in the mobile library, and Maricopa County residents will even be able to obtain library cards. Join us for some light refreshments to help celebrate and welcome our new partnerships. Things to do on our rolling free library. You get a free library card for Maricopa County residents and works at all 18 Phoenix libraries. You can borrow books, movies, seeds, and culture passes. Meet their friendly staff, watch a movie, and just enjoy the air conditioning. They remind you that June is National PTSD Awareness Month. PTSD treatment. Whether you just returned from a deployment or have been home for 40 years, it's never too late to get help for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Getting counseling or treatment can help you manage your symptoms and keep them from getting worse. Our National Center for PTSD is the world leader in PTSD research, education, and treatment. Find out how to access PTSD health services through VA. You can learn more at www.va.gov/health-care/health-needs-conditions/mental-health/PTSD. And that's the news from the Veterans News Now newsletter from the Phoenix VA Healthcare System. Now we'll turn to news.va.gov for this item. World War II and Korean War veteran turns 106. This is from the 4th of June. Army Ranger Tommy Gwynn feels even better today than he did 6 years ago when he turned 100. Always smile and have a good heart, the 106-year-old 12-time Purple Heart recipient said when asked his secret to longevity. Since 2019, VA Tennessee Valley Healthcare System and the Tullahoma community throw a birthday bash for the greatest ranger that ever was, a moniker Gwynn gave himself as a nod to his military achievements. This year was no different, with dozens of community members celebrating the decorated veteran, including Arnold Air Force Base leaders and the mayor of Tullahoma, proclaiming June 2nd, 2025 as Tommy Gwynn Day. Gwen's been a patient at TVHS for several years and transitioned into home-based primary care around 2019. Led by Dr. Ralph Haberman, the home-based primary care teams travel to the homes of geriatric patients across Middle Tennessee, Southern Kentucky, and Northern Georgia to provide essential health care services. The teams consist of multiple health care experts ranging from nurses, nurse practitioners, social workers, physical therapists, dietitians, pharmacists, and psychologists, as well as chaplaincy care should the patient request it. It's a great honor taking care of Mr. Gwen. He's a true American hero, said Dr. Haberman, who's cared for Gwen over the past 4 years. He's an incredible man, and without home-based primary care and the Tullahoma community, he couldn't have stayed home. Gwen was born in June 1919 and joined the Army in 1940. Became an Army Ranger in April 1943, serving in World War II. He fought in numerous historic battles ranging from D-Day, Battle of the Bulge, Battle of Normandy, and he witnessed the momentous victory in Europe Day, VE Day, on May the 8th, 1945, marking the end of World War II. 5 years later, Gwen returned to the front lines, fighting in the Korean War, where he fought in the Battle of Incheon. He was twice a prisoner of war, escaping captivity both times, and was injured 20 times on the battlefield. Gwen's heroism resulted in a plethora of military medals, including 12 Purple Hearts, the Silver Star Medal, the Prisoner of War Medal, and the Distinguished Service Cross. He also earned the Legion of Honor, the highest French Order of Merit for military and civil merits, established in 1802 by Napoleon Bonaparte. Gwen has outlived his family, so the home-based primary care team and the Tullahoma community serve as his caretakers. Neighbors and church friends stop by to routinely assist him with laundry, cleaning, and cooking. He's still here, and it's amazing. It's an inspiration for our team to provide care for him, said Dr. Haberman. The goal of home-based primary care team is to keep patients out of nursing homes if we can. VA is the only place in the country that has this. Veterans interested in home-based primary care should speak with their health care team to determine if home-based care is best for them. The TVHS is also seeking community members to participate in VA's Medical Foster Home Program. For more information, visit the Geriatrics and Extended Care website online. That's World War II and Korean War veteran turns 106. You've been listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. You can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona programming like Weekly Reveille, streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app, available for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store or from the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet. Or finally, you can listen to it stream on your Amazon Dot or Echo.